This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour cosmic cocktail party. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Nashville to Greenville, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the
air. They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. And we got a big show lined up for you today. Greg Anthony is going to join us, Turner Sports, NBA analyst. He's going to join us later on in the program to discuss the upcoming NBA Finals. Tonight is game one from Oracle Arena in Oakland by the Bay. Game one of the NBA Finals and the beginning of the trilogy. Ba-ba-bum. Tiger Woods dashboard cam footage is out, and it's not pretty. We shall discuss. Pittsburgh gets another win. Now it's 2-0 Pens in the Stanley Cup Final. And Mr. Met showing what a lot of Mets fans feel right now, wanting to flip the world off. All right, so let's get you guys to the phones. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Let's start with tonight's game in Oakland, Game 1, NBA Finals, and the question. Last year was LeBron's crowning achievement, but would this year top that? What I mean by that is, LeBron won two championships in Miami, and those obviously mean something. Remember, his first title goes through Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden. His second title, one of the best NBA finals of all time, the clutch, epic, historic Ray Allen shot. LeBron has a game for the ages in Game 6 with that shot. In Game 7, LeBron continues to have an epic series, closes things out. They go back to back. But last year meant more. Last year meant more from his heart because of where he's from. Last year meant more to the city because he had broken that streak of more than 50 years without any championship in Cleveland, and the Cavaliers had never won a title. He gets to hang the first banner, championship banner, in that franchise's history. And that's his home, that's his town, that's his heart. Totally unlike Miami, where he went there to learn how to win, but that city wasn't LeBron's city. That city was Dwayne Wade's city. That city had watched Dwayne Wade already win the organization's first championship. Last year, LeBron also coming back from down 3-1. Nobody had ever done that. LeBron also taking out the greatest regular season team ever. The Warriors had won 73 last year. So there's no doubt last season's championship, the 2015 title, may forever be LeBron's greatest achievement. He could win other titles. Last year may be his greatest achievement ever, no matter what else he does. Except, the Warriors may have won 73 last year, but they're a better team this year. If LeBron goes back-to-back and does it by beating a 73-win Warriors team last year and then this year beating a Warriors team that is better because they added arguably the second-best player in the NBA, this star-studded cast, the fact that the Cavs are the underdogs in this series despite being the defending champions, could this year's win, if LeBron pulled it off, actually be more impressive, a greater achievement from a basketball standpoint than last year? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
At the end of the day, I mean, I know what I've done. I know what I'm built. I know the way I'm built. My only motivation is to be able to compete for a championship every single year. And I'm sitting here today blessed once again because I put in the work and our teammates have put in the work.
It's a team game. I can't go out there and do everything on my own, or I can't go out there and just let my teammates do all the work for me. I got to do my part, and we all got to make it come together as a group. So that's the most important thing.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That's LeBron, and that's Kevin Durant. Frankly, while this Warriors team is more talented, while this Warriors team is arguably better than last year's version, while this Warriors team could be the greatest foe, the most talented foe that LeBron has ever faced, to me, it's still not going to top last year's achievement. I don't think there's a way. I really don't. And you can dial me up or you can tweet at me and let me know what the scenario would be. I don't think there ever will be a greater achievement than LeBron last year because of everything that surrounded it. Because he came back to deliver a title and did it. Because he defeated the 73-win team to do so, the greatest regular season record ever. Because he came back against the Warriors and out for revenge, flipped the script from the year before when the Warriors beat him. Because he came down from 3-1 to do it. Because in that series, there were so many iconic moments by LeBron, specifically the block. I don't think that you can top what happened last year, no matter what else LeBron does this year or in future years. I really don't, because there's nothing like your first. There is nothing like that first championship. And fans that have won multiple championships can absolutely tell you there is nothing like that first one. You could win 2, you could win 3, you could win 4, you could win 5. The one that matters the most is always the first, because it breaks through, it breaks the dam, it breaks the expectations, it breaks the frustration, it breaks everything that had been built up over time until that. And the opponent that he did it to, the way that he did it, I do not think can be topped. While this is better as a team, this is a better Warriors team, with more talent, with a revenge factor of their own. I do not think even a win this year can top what he did last year. But I can't wait to see him try. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. I guess if the Cavaliers were down 3-0, and LeBron ripped off 4 straight this year against the Warriors, maybe it might feel as big because of the degree of difficulty. But even then is not the first. Even then is not the first. But imagine how different history will be if LeBron wins this one, if the Cavaliers win this one, if they have then taken two out of three from the Warriors and done it back to back, and again, nobody believing they can do it, and they did it. Imagine what that would say. LeBron at four championships, this Cavaliers team at back to back, and then the Warriors having to have in the back of their mind, we can't get past this guy. When they're at full strength, we can't beat him. There's a lot on the line in that instance. Meanwhile, the pendulum flips over to the Warriors. The Warriors, with a finals loss, start becoming the great regular season team that can't do it when it matters. They don't have the it factor. But if they win it, suddenly that 2 in 3 years validates certainly everything that they've gone through. And it's not a dynasty, but it's kind of one of those little mini dynasties. The interesting thing is I've heard that Kevin Durant from people, that Kevin Durant has more pressure on him than LeBron does. That might be true because LeBron has his legacy already etched. And if this Warriors team can't close, what does it say about Kevin Durant? But here's the problem with that. Even if the Warriors win, how much differently do you look at Kevin Durant? In other words, I kind of feel like it can only be a loss for KD in this way. If the Warriors win and Kevin Durant has a great series, people go, yeah, but he had to ride the coattails of a great team that already had won without him, and he was supposed to do that. If he loses, it's Kevin Durant can't get it done. Can you believe he even choked in this spot? It's almost a no-win situation for KD because I don't know. It doesn't feel like Kevin Durant carried them to a championship if they do win. It feels like he rode the coattails. As great as he has been this year, it does not feel like this is Kevin Durant's team. Brandon's in Louisiana, listening to 100.7 to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Brandon?
How you doing?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm great. Just working.
All right. Right on. What's up?
All right. I'm just thinking. I heard what you was talking about. I think if Kyrie was injured, God forbid, and KD and the Cavaliers were down 3-0, and LeBron came back and beat them, that would be a greater accomplishment than last year's finals.
So, I mean, that's what we're talking about, this incredible degree of difficulty. What it would take to even be more impressive than last year. It would take what? Okay, LeBron losing his second best player and being down 3-0. You know, I mean, think about that. That's where the degree of difficulty would have to be more impressive than last year. But still, even if they did that, it would be miraculous, but it would not be the first. It's pretty remarkable. It's pretty impressive. It's pretty incredible that we're kind of at the point in time where there is no greater achievement, maybe, that LeBron will ever have than what he accomplished last year. And think about how different this series would be had they lost last year, the Cavs, and not be able to knock through. And, you know, with as talented as the Warriors are, if they can keep Kevin Durant around, they can keep this core around, we might look back and go, boy, thank goodness LeBron got that one when he did before they got KD, because after that, there was no room. They just couldn't squeeze one out because the Warriors are so damn good. As I've said before, I think this is going to be a good series. I do think the Warriors end up prevailing in 6 or 7. But I do believe that you are going to see an epic performance yet again by LeBron. I think you're going to see some really impressive efforts by the Cavaliers. I think you're going to see some really good games and that this thing is going to go deep. I think it's going to go 6 or 7. I do, though, lean towards Warriors taking it home because of just one too many weapons to try to shut down if you're Cleveland. When we come back, Tiger Woods' dashboard cam video is public, and it's not pretty. We've got some of the audio for you guys to listen to coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Muffins. Jones Mornings Mothership.
I'm happy for you and Merez, and I hope success keeps coming as it did on the DA show. You've come a long way since the overnight DA.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
When it's time to replace your battery, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the SuperStart battery that's an exact fit for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. The dashboard cam footage is out, made public from Tiger Woods' DUI arrest. I mean, look, the first thing that pops out is that he was out. He was out on his feet. It was extraordinarily dangerous for him to be operating a motor vehicle. He was asleep at the wheel, literally and figuratively. When they found him, he was literally sleeping in a running car with the lights on and the blinker on in a lane of traffic, like half on the lane of traffic, half in the bike lane. When he got out of the car to speak, my goodness. Jupiter, yeah, in California. I mean, this is a guy that was asked where he was going, and he said California. Dude, you're in Florida. It's 3 a.m. You're asleep in a bike lane in your running car. Whew. He is remarkably fortunate he did not hit something, hit someone, just drive right off the side of the road and into one of those sinkholes in Florida. Into one of those rivers with an alligator in it. I mean, there's a lot of treacherous terrain in Florida if you are basically asleep while driving. Man, you ever drive through Alligator Alley? You ever make that run from Naples all the way over to Fort Lauderdale? It's the scariest drive you'll ever make. Scariest, especially at night. Even during the day, it's scary. There ain't nothing. Miles, 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 miles. Then there's like a shack where, like, they skin boa constrictors. Then there's, like, swamp, 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 gator, gator, swamp, 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 gator, gator, anaconda, swamp, 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 weird shack, swamp, swamp, swamp. I mean, in Florida, you don't fall asleep at the wheel of the car. Something will happen to you. There will be some type of exotic animal that will strangle you, choke you to death. There could be an alligator that eats you. There could be a meth head that bites off your face while he's naked. There's a lot of things that can happen in Florida. So just a bad idea all around by Tiger. But I mean, the guy is out. Out like a light on his feet. He have no idea where he is. None. And like I said yesterday, the comments from people on tour, Bubba Watson, Jack Nicklaus, other golfers, to me suggest the same thing. People around Tiger are concerned he has an addiction to pain medication. Now, it wouldn't surprise me at all if this guy has been popping pain medication for 10 years now and gotten real nice with it. Because he's had knee injuries and back surgeries and neck injuries and Achilles injuries and shoulder injuries and everything injuries. I'm sure he's gotten very, very familiar with all of our favorite pain medications. And now, losing 2 straight years, and oh, by the way, the golf's bad. I think there are major people around him that understand the severity of this thing and don't think this was one bad night. I think there's a lot of people around him that think this is a lot of his nights. But damn, when you watch this video, you're like, whoa, that guy is on Planet Zippy and he does not have a return receipt. This is not a round trip flight. This is a one-way ticket to Zipsville. Here's audio from the dashboard cam of Tiger reciting the alphabet. Give him credit, he did not sing it.
Go ahead and stand with your feet together and your arms down by your side.
Oh.
Are you okay? What's wrong?
What are we doing?
Right now, I want you to say the alphabet from A to Z with your eyes closed and your head tilted backwards, with your feet together and your arms down by your side in a slow, non-rhythmic manner. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. So go ahead and say it with your feet together and your arms down by your side. Just like that. Just like I am.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead and close your eyes.
Yeah.
Tilt your head backwards. Go ahead and close your eyes. You're not closing your eyes.
What's that? What is that?
It's just a microphone. It's just recording the audio. Go ahead and close your eyes. Tilt your head backward. Okay? And then you're going to say the entire English alphabet from A to Z in a non-rhythmic manner, meaning you're not going to sing it, okay?
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, B, W, X, Y, and Z.
What are we doing again? What are we doing? You know, where he was at mentally was not like three beers or four drinks or five drinks. That's a guy that had 10 to 12 drinks. That's the equivalent of that. I mean, what are we doing? What is this? He's swaying back and forth. He can't stand still. Doesn't know where they are. They ask him, do you know what you're doing? He goes, no. Do you know where you are? No. Where are you coming from? I don't know. I mean, that's the equivalent of a guy having like chugged a bottle of vodka and then getting behind the wheel of a car. And also, when they asked him to do a sobriety test, they asked him, do you know what we're asking you to do? He goes, yes, recite the national anthem backwards. Number one, that's never been a sobriety test, right? Because I couldn't do the full national anthem forwards, I'm pretty sure. But number two, how would you do any song backwards? Would it be word by word? Would it be stanza by stanza? How exactly would you ever recite any song backwards? Virtually impossible, I'm pretty sure, even if you had the lyrics in front of you. This just goes to show you where he was at. This might be humiliating. This might be embarrassing. This might be a cry for help. Let me tell you, this is the best case scenario. This is the absolute best thing that could have happened to Tiger Woods, because Tiger Woods was so far gone, he might as well have driven that car off a cliff. He was out. He was black out on pain meds. Didn't hurt anybody else. Didn't hurt himself. Didn't drive the car into something, you know, like a fire hydrant. I mean, the guy was remarkably lucky. Think about being so out of it, you pull over on the side of the road and sleep with your car on. Not like pull over into a Burger King parking lot. Not like pull over into a truck stop. Not pull over into a turnaround. Didn't even turn off the car. The guy's tires were also blown out. We have no idea how his tires got blown out. Maybe he just hit the curb, blew him out, and then he couldn't drive anymore. But I mean, again, blown out tires, car is on, car is running, blinkers going, and he goes, you know what? Let me take a snooze. The best possible outcome of that night was this. My God. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. The Penguins are two wins away from yet another Stanley Cup. Is this series over? And if the Pens win a fifth cup since 1991, can we call Pittsburgh a hockey town with a football team? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's the show about the show. Here's the best of this week's Permission Granted podcast.
Well, I mean, we got to get to the bottom of this incident.
Are we going to ask him why his nickname is Six?
Why is your nickname Six? What do the tattoos stand for? What's the tier for?
This is going to be fascinating.
Are you scared because the last time you saw him, there was an altercation?
I am scared because this past week, the league made sure we'd play at the same field. I think they didn't want the police coming. So I have not seen him since I basically ran to my car and sped off. And now he's going to be my place of work. This is not a comfortable situation for me at all.
Download the PGP today on iTunes and play.it or listen at daoncbs.com and the show's Facebook page, Zaps.
Remember, you can watch the DA show. Every single morning, the digital broadcast is up and running. So you can check it out even on your phone. It's mobile friendly. Just go to watchda.com. You can watch the show live every morning, 9 until noon Eastern time at watchda.com. And then also use that website the rest of the day to kill time because the last episode of The Dot runs on loop until the next episode of The Dot. Josh tweets, DA took off of work tomorrow so I can be there for radio history. Hashtag the truth will be heard, y'all. Travis tweets, 24 hours until Mr. Six. I picture Merez going through a Rocky-like training montage. I highly encourage you to download the PGP, the Permission Granted podcast, because we discuss at length the upcoming appearance of Mr. Six, which we have learned will now be in studio tomorrow morning.
Six.
The man that punched Merez in the nose 2 weeks ago on the flag football field and has been suspended for a game because of it is going to be in studio with us tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern time. There is so much to discuss with this. I don't want it to bog down the show right now because we've got a lot to get to, but I do need to give a few notes here, a few nuggets, a few Cliff's notes. Number one, we were going to just have him over the phone. He reached back out to us and said his work is bringing him through the area. We do not know what type of work Mr. Six does. We highly doubt and very skeptical that he has work that would bring him through this area. I think he wants another crack at Merez in person. Okay, that's the first part. The second part is Mr. Six is the ultimate X factor here, the ultimate wild card. We have no idea what to expect. And so tomorrow at 11 a.m., I can honestly tell you, for one of the only times in my radio history, I have no idea what's going to happen. It kind of began as a lark. Obviously, the story is kind of interesting. Stuff that happens with Merez usually seems to take on a cartoonish quality.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
But I underestimated the craziness of Mr. Six because I reached out personally to him with a message over Facebook because he had blocked Merez. And suddenly he took a private message between him and I and he splattered it all across social media and mocked me for it. He then demanded to be on the show and said the truth will be heard, y'all, and then negotiated a way to be in studio. I don't know what to expect. I am fascinated. I'm also a little bit scared. I don't know where this thing is going to go tomorrow. So I encourage you to find time at 11 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow for Mr. C. Because I don't know if this is going to be like a Jerry Springer situation where he is leaping over the microphone to strangle Merez and then might come after me. I might leave this thing like Geraldo with a broken nose. I don't know. I don't know what is going to happen with Mr. Six. And I can tell you his nickname is Mr. Six because I believe we should give him some proper level of respect because his name is just Six and he doesn't have another name. It's just Six. On his Facebook page, it's Six. And he's got the letters six, S-I-X, tattooed across his neck. So people are asking me what he looks like. My best explanation would be a really mean Doug Glanville. Okay. Imagine Doug Glanville with a criminal element. That's kind of what...
Six.
I don't know what I've gotten us into, Mr. Six Tomorrow.
He growls as he storms the country. A villain, big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a
six.
Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
It's coming tomorrow. What exactly that is, I do not know. I cannot tell you. But let me predict this. That tomorrow will absolutely be...
I got a candidate for the 12 DAs, okay?
One of the 12 DAs of Christmas. There is no doubt in my mind this will be one of the 12 most memorable moments of the year.
It's not many days we could say we have Anthony Michael Hall in studio and he's the warm-up act.
Yeah. Exactly. We have Anthony Michael Hall in studio for a half hour and people will be waiting for Mr. Six at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Is it possible he does not live up to the hype? I suppose. But I kind of feel like no matter what it is, it lives up to the hype. No matter what. No matter what, just getting inside the brain of a Mr. Six is going to be enough for me. Might be my demo reel. I might send that out. Last night, game two. Feels a lot like game one. Felt a lot like game one of the Stanley Cup final. Predators outplayed the Penguins for 60 minutes of hockey. But there was just a couple of letdown moments by Pekka Rinne and the Preds. And there was a couple of boom, boom, boom jabs that landed. And it was goals that the Penguins pushed across in rapid fire succession to take the win and to take the 2-0 series lead.
Here's Malkin down the left wing to the circle. A shot. He scores!
Nashville's falling apart.
Kenny Albert, Joe Micheletti on Westwood One. It's a brutal situation right now for the Preds because they outplayed the Penguins in both of these games for long stretches. And they came away with nothing. They came away with zilch, zero, nada. They came away with two losses. So it's a brutal realization for the Preds that you can outplay the opponent, which you'd have to do because they're the defending champions. They've been here before. You're the newbies. They've got the home ice advantage. You'd have to outplay them to have any chance at winning the series. And they did in the first two games, and they got nothing to show for it. And so, yes, the deck is stacked right now against the Preds. They'll have to win four of the final five games to take home the Stanley Cup, and that math doesn't sound good. But let me tell you, it only takes one win. It only takes one W to flip everything around. Look, game three is a must win. It's not an elimination game, but it's a must freaking win. You can't go down 3-0 to the defending Stanley Cup champions and have any hope whatsoever. But before we rub out, before we wipe off, before we clean the tank of the Preds, can we at least give them game three at home? I'm hearing so many people already declare this series over. The Preds haven't even played a home game yet. And they've outplayed the Penguins in both the first two games. Can we give them a little respect? I mean, the patient's not dead. The heart is still pumping. It is not over. It's not even close to over. Well, I guess it's close to over if they lose game three. But it's not over. It's not over until the fat catfish is thrown under the ice. Sick and tired of people burying the Preds because they haven't been here before. If the Stanley Cup playoffs have taught us anything, it's that you can't predict what's going to happen. It does not go according to script. The Penguins are champions. The Penguins know how to do this. The Penguins have Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and the rest of those guys. The Penguins are a great team looking for their third cup of the Crosby era. But can we at least allow the Predators a home game before we mark them as DOA? We're so quick to pull the trigger and say, it's over, it's over, it's over, it's over. We don't realize the Predators are good enough to outplay the Penguins for their first two games. And now they get to go back home where you know they're going to get a jolt, where you know it's going to be a party. This thing is far from over. And I'm going to hear a bunch of people apologizing to me once this thing goes 2-2 and the Preds win both their home games. Then suddenly it's going to be like, wow, DA, you know what? I should have listened to you. I guess it's not over. It's not over. Chuck is next up in Nashville, listening on the radio.com app. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, DA. You know what, my friend? I love you to death, because if there's one thing that I've learned from listening to you is you stick to it. I may not agree with you, my friend, but I appreciate your wherewithal for Nashville.
I'm sticking to it. I'm sticking to it.
I know you are, and not that I'm the bearer of bad news, but me and your producer might have a little bit on you. I'm not.
You guys have written them off. You guys say the series is over.
Yeah, it is over. I'm sorry. When you're starting to grip. If I was wanting to play, I'd want to play tomorrow. I wouldn't want to play Saturday, because the more you sit around and wait, I think the worse it gets. But if they don't come out and literally score like 9 goals, they may have outplayed them. I completely agree. They did, but Pittsburgh scored when they had to. They're playing like I said before. They played like the Canadians of the 70s. They win. They score when they can. And I mean, I'm not wanting it, but the reality of the situation is, I think Pittsburgh's going to get another cup here.
Keep your chin up, Chuck. Keep your chin up. It is not over. If you are a Preds fan, you haven't even had a home game yet. Don't write them off. Don't be a negative Nancy. Don't be a glass half empty kind of guy. There is still plenty of hockey to play. Look, there's a minimum of 2 games left in the Stanley Cup Final. Minimum 2. Let's see what happens in those 2. Let's see what happens. Because I'm going to tell you this. It's not even done if Preds win Game 3, Penguins win Game 4. It's not even done then. I don't think that the Preds would then come to win 3 straight. But I could easily see them going and winning on road ice in Game 5 and pushing it back to Nashville in Game 6. Let's just wait to see what happens when they get back to the friendly confines of Bridgestone Arena. The country music stars are out. The Tennessee Titans offensive linemen are pounding beers.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
People are throwing catfish on the ice. Marcus Mariota is leading the chants. Let's just see what happens then, okay? Let's just wait to see what happens and not kick dirt on the patient that's not even dead yet. Mark tweets, I'm already blocking off my 11 a.m. time slot tomorrow for Mraz versus Mr. Six round 2. Do we know who the favorite is? It can't come to physical blows. We can't allow that. That can't happen here in the studio. We will be pulled off the air. This show will not exist post that incident. I can guarantee you that we're already probably on thin ice. So it cannot get physical. Can it get verbally aggressive? Sure, but I'm here to tell you this. Mraz is going to cower. Mraz is going to cower. He is already scared of Mr. Six. He's already worried about Mr. Six coming into this place and seeing him face to face. Mraz is already going to try to play nice, try to warm him up. He's going to try to basically get Mr. Six on his side. He's going to kiss up to him. You wait, you watch. There's not a doubt in my mind, Mraz, that you do not have the spine to actually argue with Mr. Six.
I had the spine on a football Sunday to argue with Mr. Six. Do I have the spine on a Friday morning at work to argue with Mr. Six? I'm going to let him have his piece, and then I'm going to talk behind his back the moment he leaves. Typical Mraz fashion.
Very typical. Very typical. Look, what is amazing is that now there is so much pressure on both of your teams to win these playoff games this weekend. Because in this wild card round, if both the young guns of Mraz and the small blocks, which might as well be called the cell blocks of Mr. Six, if the cell blocks win and the young guns win, it sets up a divisional round playoff game a week from Saturday in which the entire East Coast will be buzzing. Can guarantee you this. They're going to have Daniel Jeremiah, Mike Mayock. They're going to have all the draft Knicks out there at that game. If the cell blocks and the young guns win, there's going to be major, major coverage. When we return, will KD take less to keep the Dubs together? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.